Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. Coming up at 9:20, our morning mystery movie clip. Bottom of the hour, 9:30, Caroline Leavitt, Donald Trump's national press secretary, set to join us here this morning. But before we get to the national press secretary, we get to the man himself, the great Donald J. Trump. Very, very busy man these days, and he's still kind enough to carve out 15 minutes for us here on a Friday. Mr. President, good morning. How are you, sir?
It's been very busy. We've been very busy. And the courtroom's been very cold. I think I've made that very clear. It's been very cold because Alvin Bragg is a huge person. He has what we call blubber. And last Friday, you saw somebody light themselves on fire. It's because Alvin Bragg walked out there with his thunder thighs and sparked a huge problem out there. So that's what happened. Nobody knows that, but I saw it happen with my own two eyes. It's something you don't want to see. But the guy who lit himself on fire, to say this, he made the courtroom a little warmer, so we thank him for that.
Yes, and we do have you on record saying this.
I'm freezing my ass off up here.
That was, of course, in Schnecksville, PA, two Saturdays ago. But a big day yesterday for you, Mr. Trump, in front of SCOTUS for the January 6th charges and the concept of absolute immunity. It seems like there were more favorable than non-favorable moments on your behalf. Your thoughts on the way the justices handled those arguments and the interpretations that we heard yesterday?
Well, the justices handled the arguments very well, and my lawyers handled the arguments very well. And you know what I say about immunity? I have the greatest immune system in the history of the world. I don't get sick. You know, nobody's healthier than I am. And I had a meeting this morning. I've done this a lot with my antibodies. I talked to them. I said, you're doing a tremendous job, and we're never getting the China virus again. I got it once. I haven't gotten it again. But the immunity from the charges is another one, and the antibodies can't handle that one, but the lawyers are going to handle that. And I have the immunity, and here's what's going to happen. Even if they say we don't have absolute, they're going to send it to another court. We're not having the trial. It's not going to happen. And Jack Smith is very upset about it. I hear he's plucking his beard hairs. He hasn't shaved it in 15 years. He's plucking them because he's so anxious and so upset. He's plucking with his own hands, and he's bleeding out of his face because he's so upset that we're not going to have the trial, because we're probably not. And he's also getting his ass handed to him by Judge Cannon. That's also happening. So it's a terrible day for Jack Smith. It's a great day for us.
Speaking of,
and a great day for our country.
Yes, indeed, Mr. President. Donald Trump is with us. Speaking of judges, let's get to Judge Mershon in your case in New York and the gag order and the claims that you have defied the gag order many times. Any fear of contempt and any fear of possibly going to jail, or are you going to keep steamrolling Judge Mershon as you have been?
Well, if we go to jail, you know what's going to happen. We're going to run the cell block. They have a lot of respect for me over there. We're going to do very well. We're going to make sure nobody drops the soap. We're going to say you have red hands and you're not dropping it. And if you do drop it, you're not going to pick it up, because that's when the bad things happen. But I have to say this. We're not going to jail. They're not going to put me in jail, because then they have to clear out the wing. The Secret Service has to come in. It's not going to happen. So we don't fear. We have no fear. I'm not afraid of anything. Crooked Joe's afraid of his own shadow. AOC is afraid of big words. I'm not afraid of anything. So we have no fear. We're not afraid of it. We're not afraid of contempt. I hold them in contempt, like Jim Carrey and Liar Liar. I hold myself in contempt. But I don't hold myself. They don't hold me. I don't hold them in contempt. We're not afraid of anything, and it's going to be just fine. We're having a great trial. You know, they're doing a terrible job, and nobody knows what the hell I'm on trial for. I don't even think the judge knows. I don't even think Alvin Bragg knows. The key witness was talking yesterday. He was face down in a box of Twinkies, so I don't even think he's paying attention.
I would agree. And then, of course, you have testimony from guys like Pecker and the sham of a case when Even the New York Times has op-eds with legal scholars around the country saying that there's no crime, there's no fraud. I think you have to believe at least one juror, if not multiple jurors, in the Alvin Bragg case are going to find you not guilty, even in a blue city like New York City.
Can I just say this about the court? Because the case, I have to say it, and some people are going to say maybe it's not a good thing to say. You have a case about potential money being paid to a porn star. The key witness is Pecker, and you have a gag order. This is incredible, okay? And I would never talk about it. I would never say something like that, but that's what's happening. You have a Pecker, you have a gag order, and you have a porn star. When you put all those three things together,
and a poll.
You did something crazy.
And a poll.
You did something, and a poll. You have lots of polls, I can tell you that. And it's called, let me just tell you something, it's called in the courtroom, and so Pecker's getting very small. Okay, because these are things that you're not supposed to see, and you're seeing it. This entire case is a sham. It's a complete and total sham. I wouldn't touch Karen McDougal or Stormy Daniels with a 10-foot pole, and I know what that looks like.
Oh. Well said. Donald Trump joining us here. Speaking of women, your attorney, Elena Haba, is now actually trolling some of the haters. She has haters on Twitter. You have haters on Twitter/X. And now she's trolling them with a video of her slicing avocados. I've watched the video about 35 times. I would argue, Mr. President, it's the best avocado video slicing tutorial I have ever seen in the history of American jurisprudence. Your thoughts on her abilities in the kitchen so far via social media?
Nobody does a better job slicing avocados, I can tell you that. And crooked Jill Biden, I can say this too, because she has a hard time with a lot of things, including her dresses. You know, she wears she looks like the severe thunderstorm. There's a tornado warning. It's crooked Jill. And, you know, there's also when Joe comes to town, crooked Joe, there's a tornado warning too, because he sucks everything in through his nose. It's terrible. He's horrible. He sniffs all the people, and you're not supposed to do that. But avocado, it's a beautiful word. I invented it, as a matter of fact. And Crooked Jill calls them avocado. She has no idea how to pronounce it. She's terrible. Just like she called it bogada. What the hell is that? Nobody knows that. It's the greatest video. Elena Haba, she's a great person. She slices the avocado like nobody's ever sliced it before. And I taught her everything she knows. I taught her how to use her hands because I have big, beautiful, tremendous hands. And I've taught her everything, including how to slice the avocado. That's why it's done so perfectly.
Oh, I need a towel. Kaylee Company joined here by the 45th and hopefully, God willing, the 47th president of the United States. So one of the things we talked about earlier this week, Mr. President, is, and we know you had the big fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago a few weekends ago, well over $50 million generated in fundraisers. The swing state spending disparity between Joe and yourself is a pretty wide margin right now. Joe has spent about $15 million to your one and change. Do you have any anticipated date on when you'll expect to open up the war chest and begin this ad blitz in the battlegrounds?
Well, we don't really have to do it right now because we're winning. Well, we're winning by a lot, but we might want to do it. We are thinking about it maybe closer to the election, but we're winning by a lot. We haven't even opened the war chest, so we're doing a great, and it's a beautiful chest. I have to say that I built it. It's gold. It's a beautiful chest. And nobody knows chests like I do. I have a beautiful chest, too. The doctor told me, they said, look at you. You look like a Greek god. We talked about my immune system. I also have a beautiful body, and it's all from Big Macs. You know that? Nobody does better with McDonald's than I do. Golden arches. I built those, too. But you look at the swing states. We're doing so well with the swing states. And they are coming around. They're looking at it. They're saying, we don't like the death to America people. We like the make America great again people. And so we're doing very well, and we don't even have to spend money. They're letting us do it for free. And so nobody does deals like I do, and I got a great deal right now, so we're going to keep it going.
Speaking of things that are going well for you, a new poll shows that 40 is the new 55, as younger voters are ditching Democrats for you and the Republican Party. Then, of course, you're in New York City, and you've got a lot of the union workers over the last 48 hours who have voiced their displeasure with Joe Biden and their support for you. I got to imagine you feel pretty good right now about the younger bigger demo, and also in an area where many people think you have no shot, there's some encouraging signs in New York City.
Well, you see the support coming out of New York. You see the construction workers. These are beautiful people. As you know, I'm a great builder, and they're great builders, too. And so they love hearing from a great builder also. And they have big, strong heads, and so do I. So we have a lot in common. And they came out and supported me. There was a beautiful, handsome gentleman. He was on television. He had a nice goatee. And he said to Crooked Joe Biden two words. He said, the first word I would never say. It's a four-letter word, starts with F, and it ends with three other letters, and you're not supposed to say that. And it's not fire truck, I can tell you that. I would never say that, but he said it to Crooked Joe, and everybody wants to say it. I would never say it, but everybody wants to say it, and the entire country wants to say it, and I think that's what Let's Go Brandon means. That's what a lot of people are saying. But he said that, and the people are tired of it. They're tired of having a weak country. They're tired of the bad hombres. They're tired of the inflation. You have to cut off your arm to buy steak. Nobody wants to do that, but you have to do it in a store. You have to surrender your hand. It's terrible. If you want to buy a ribeye, nobody loves ribeyes like I do, but we can't do it. Even I have a lot of money. I can't afford it. So you have the terrible things that are happening in our country. Nobody wants it to happen anymore, and we're going to fix it when I'm your president. We're going to make it a lot better. We're going to make it great again.
Final one for Donald J. Trump joining us here on Kale and Company. One of your former buddies, Chris Christie, is mad that Joe Biden hasn't reached out to him as a never Trumper since the general election has become set in stone. Does anybody actually want, seek, or desire Chris Christie's input or advice on anything in life, Mr. President?
The only people who call Chris Christie are sumo wrestlers. They say, how can I get as big as you? Okay, that's what they say. How can I get as big as you? Because Crooked Joe doesn't want to go near Chris Christie. You know, Crooked Joe's a sniffer, and nobody wants to smell that guy because he smells horrible. I can tell you that. I was on stage with him. The tomato, they threw it at him. It got stuck in the orbit, and he smelled so bad. It was like Pig Pen from Peanuts. It was like Pig. He was terrible. Everywhere he goes, you can smell his last week worth of meals. You know, when he lets one go, they call it a toot, like Eric Swalwell. It gets stuck in his orbit. He's got his own atmosphere. It's terrible. So you have this. Nobody wants to talk to Chris Christie. He's a sloppy guy. He's a fat slob. And nobody wants to talk to him, not even Crooked Joe. Oh my God.
Sloppy Chris Christie.
The great Sean Farish is joining us, as he does every week here on Kale and Company. All right, Sean, that was great stuff. So let's get to your thoughts.
Real fast, Nick Hale. Sean, somebody in the YouTube chat wants to know how you're able to do this without laughing.
So actually today when I was making it, because I've been troubleshooting the pecker joke for a long time. If you watch your back,
yeah,
I almost laughed because you guys are going crazy. I'm all right, good, that landed. So yes. I guess I'm making a video later today about it. Because you know there's a whole gag order thing and like he can't say that, but he really should.
Yes.
So, 100%. Someone asked how I could do it without laughing. It's hard. It is very hard sometimes. But I've been doing it a long time. I can tell you that. So it's like, I guess it's just like focus. I'm looking at the camera, and the camera is just looking back at me with this blank stare. So it's okay.
Sean Farish with us. So let's start, because you obviously you live in Nashville now, but you're a New Yorker, You see the National Guard in New York for Columbia. Now we've seen what happened at Emory University down in Georgia, USC canceling commencement over this fear and this hatred that is being exhibited towards the Jewish community on college campuses. I mean, what's going to happen? Because, I mean, is it going to have to get uglier before it gets better this spring and summer? And what is ultimately the solution? Because leadership is not really enforcing and ruling with an iron fist here.
All right, so I'm kind of torn, right? Because I hate seeing Jewish people. I hate seeing anybody get attacked like that, right? It's not just about Jewish people. In this case, it is. But in any situation, that shouldn't be happening anywhere. We should be this country where, okay, you know, you want to go and support Palestine? I respect your right to do that. You should respect my right not to do that. And just don't get in each other's way. I mean, that's it. So I obviously want to see the hateful rhetoric in this case, you know, aimed at Jews to stop. And I've been very outspoken about that. And I find it very ironic that, you know, when I wear my MAGA hat, I'm called a Nazi, but I've never uttered this type of, you know, rhetoric, language, hatred, and spewed it towards Jewish people in my life, coming from a Jewish family, right? You know, but I've been called a Nazi because what did I do, Nick? I went to a school board meeting and said, I don't like DEI. Therefore, I am like the incarnation of, you know, some terrible people. And it's like, it's insane. But I'm also on this one, right? So I don't want the Jews to get attacked, but I don't want to interrupt my enemy when he's making a mistake, because this is a huge overplay, right? So I always say, people are like, oh, it's just like 2020. It's the BLM riots again. And I say, yes, except in 2020, they were chanting Black Lives Matter, which to the normal American voter who was stuck at home because of COVID, you hear it. You see the videos of George Floyd. It didn't look good. We know things now that kind of go counter to the narrative, but that's besides the point, because back then you saw the videos. It didn't look good. And you had people chanting Black Lives Matter, which is a reasonable statement. And by the way, a true statement. Black Lives Matter because all lives matter. Now they're not chanting Black Lives Matter. They're chanting Free Palestine. And they're more importantly, they're chanting Death to America. So you want to say a group of people in America in 2020, they're upset, COVID, the George Floyd video comes out, and they're hearing Black Lives Matter. To many Americans, that seems reasonable. Nobody is getting out of bed going, you know, I think those Death to America protesters, they really have a point. I should donate to their cause. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So they are making the biggest overplay here and a huge, huge mistake. And then you watch these college campuses. It costs a lot of money to go to these schools.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to lose students, because if you're not going to stop college protesters, some of these people coming out from outside the college and protesting on campus, you know, these attacks on Jews, if you're not going to stop it and you're instead going to negotiate with the Death to America crowd, no one's going to want to go there. Bob Kraft stopped funding them. And so, and again, people are like, well, you're taking it out of context. It's just one guy saying Death to America. No, it isn't. And at the University of Michigan, among other schools as well, their own paperwork and flyers that are being distributed at the protest says freedom for, this is word for word, freedom for Palestine means death to America. Mm-hmm. So when you hear the Free Palestine chant, that's what they're saying. It's not war. It's not winning over anybody. The BLM riots won over people as some sort of civil rights movement. This is not doing that. And I don't think they understand how much damage they're doing to their own case. And that's why I don't want to stop them. But I also want the attacks on Jews to stop. So, I mean, there's got to be a happy medium somewhere. I hate to see what's happening to these Jewish students. And by the way, these Jewish employees, it's really sad.
Yes, great point. I want to get your thoughts. Last one here. In Tennessee now, as Tennessee House Republicans have passed a bill allowing teachers to carry guns, and we will have armed teachers and sending this measure to the governor. I love the way red states operate in many facets compared to blue states. You're down there. You're in the Nashville area living this now. Your thoughts on this? Good idea? Bad idea? How did we arrive at this point?
So the Tennessee state legislature had an incredible session. They've passed a lot of really, really good bills. This is one of them. And Bill Lee, the governor, came and said he's going to sign it. And this is what the bill does, right? So it gives each individual district the option to allow teachers to carry guns. So this is not like a statewide mandate that all teachers must have the choice. It's district by district, which is great because now there's more power in the hands of the people. You can now go to your school board meetings. You can say hi to the FBI agent and you can say, hey, you know, this is what we want. We want our teachers to carry guns. So you can say that probably your left-leaning districts are not going to allow it.
Yep.
And your right-leaning districts are going to allow it. Now, I don't want to see school shootings anywhere, but I have a sneaking suspicion that if that's the way it goes and there's this dichotomy, right, that you're going to see it in the districts where the teachers aren't carrying. And people say, well, now the schools are going to be loaded with guns. No, this is not mandating that teachers must carry. This is giving the teacher the choice to carry, right? So if something does happen, they can protect themselves, protect their students instead of waiting for the police to arrive. And the police mm-hmm. do a fine job, but they're far away. The teachers are right there.
Sure.
So I love this bill. And we went from last summer in Tennessee, a discussion surrounding and revolving around red flag laws, to now this spring, a bill that is going to allow districts to allow their teachers to carry firearms in school to protect themselves and their students. This is a great state, and this legislature has had an epic legislative session here in Tennessee. I love living here. The only regret I have moving to Tennessee is I didn't do it sooner. This place is awesome.
That's how I felt in 2018. Real quickly, just to wrap up, we got about 30 seconds here. Do you think this will be picked up in other red states? Could you see Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Texas, things like that, maybe piggybacking and copycatting this?
I can see Florida doing it tomorrow, yeah. Because they're run by a fantastic governor. They have a great state legislature, too. And maybe Texas. I think it could be in several red states. There's probably going to be some sort of court challenge in Tennessee at some point. They'll see how that plays out. And then these other states will follow suit and kind of craft it to avoid those challenges, if there are challenges. But I do see people following suit. It's a great way to keep kids safe.
Great stuff as always, buddy. Woo! We appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. And try not to slip into Trump mode on the weekend. Enjoy your weekend. Stay in Sean Farish mode.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
There he is, buddy. Sean Farish live from Tennessee here on Kale and Company. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we are going to go from a man who impersonates Donald Trump to Donald Trump's national press secretary, yeah, Caroline Leavitt. She's coming up in about 8 minutes. But first, let's get to our morning mystery movie clip.
And now, the morning mystery movie clip on Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Every time I come in the kitchen, you in the kitchen, in the damn refrigerator, eating up all the food.
Oh, God.
All the chicken, all the pig feet. You ate my dinner, my mashed potatoes, that good old gravy I like, and biscuits I can stop that gravy in. You ate all it up. You drink up all the milk. Don't care what kind of milk it is. You don't care. 2%, 3% buttermilk, patent milk. Hold a cow in a patent milk can. I bet you eat that too. What's wrong with you? I'm hiding my grapes.
Oh.
You go eat up all my grapes.
Think you know what it is?
Such a loss.
1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, today another pair of tickets to the as I scroll here, there we go. The Down and Derby Wine Festival. Woo-hoo! Featuring Secret Service Band, and they will not be throwing menstrual pads.
No.
On May 4th from 2 to 7 p.m. at Veterans Island, Cooper River Park in Pennsauken, New Jersey. Sample delicious wines from South Jersey's best wineries and enjoy live music, performers, food trucks, fun and games. Must be 21 or older to attend. Caller 12, 855-839-1210. See if we get our winner on the other side. And Caroline Leavitt coming up next. Donald Trump's national press secretary. Kale and Company, back after this. But first, a word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. What I love about the Piazza Auto Group is they let me sample all sorts of different vehicles. I'm going to give you some of the details next week on the Mercedes-Benz C300, the Acura Integra, as well as the Mazda CX-30. But first, a final word. This is probably the last day about the 2024 Honda Pilot Trail Sport. But don't worry, you can still go get it. It features a 7-mode drive system, Trail Watch multi-camera view, 18-inch alloy wheels, and wireless Apple CarPlay. But maybe the best feature, third row seating. And for the guys out there, the Trail Sport's your rugged all-terrain version of the Pilot. You can explore all the new Honda Pilot options at one of their 5 locations in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Reading, Springfield, and Langhorne, or shop all their inventory in one convenient location, PiazzaAutoGroup.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
9 o'clock hour brought to you by the North to Shore Festival. Experience Prudential presents North to Shore, New Jersey's biggest music and arts festival. Coming up in June, Asbury Park, Atlantic City, and Newark, featuring performances by the B-52s, Bare Naked Ladies, Stephen Colbert, Happy Together, and more. All June, all Jersey, north2shore.com. Suzanne in Conshohocken is our morning mystery movie clip winner. Suzanne, good morning. What movie clip did we play for you?
You played Friday.
Yeah,
Suzanne.
And today is Friday, and you're going to the wine festival. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Woo. Suzanne Conshohocken, our winner, as we now welcome in Caroline Leavitt, a very, very busy lady these days. She is Donald Trump's national press secretary. Ms. Leavitt, good morning. How are you? Thank you for the time this morning.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. We appreciate it.
We absolutely appreciate it. So there's so many things going on in the world of Donald Trump. I want to start with yesterday with the oral arguments that were heard in regards to January 6th amongst the Supreme Court. It seems like a very, very positive day yesterday based on what the justices were saying to the special counsel. Your thoughts on the way yesterday went from not only from a charges standpoint, but an optics standpoint. It seemed like it was very good PR and press.
Yeah, yesterday was a great day for President Trump and for our campaign. First of all, he started the day at a construction site in Manhattan, bright and early, hours before Joe Biden was even awake for the day, meeting and greeting with union workers on the job, many of whom expressed their wholehearted support for President Trump in this next election. Many of them also lifelong Democrats who realized that Joe Biden and the Democrat Party have been ripping them off for decades, and President Trump is a man of his word. He delivered for the American worker in his first term, and that's why he's fighting so hard to be reelected for a second term. So we started the day with that very exciting visit. It really fired up the president and our whole team. And then in court here in Manhattan, which is where I'm actually calling you from, Nick, I'm calling you from the Manhattan Criminal Courthouse here, which is where this sham witch hunt from Joe Biden's administration is being held. We also had a great day on the stand. The witness, David Pecker, testified, just proving that the prosecution's case is meritless. There is no basis for it in the law. And this trial, ultimately, justice is going to prevail. And then to your point about the Supreme Court, we had some more good news. It seemed as though the justices really understand and side with President Trump's argument that a president has to have immunity from official acts that they make as president of the United States. If you do not, if you are inclined to being prosecuted for every official act that you make as president, then no president will ever be able to do what's best in the interest of the United States. And you're really opening up a big can of worms looking back at past presidencies and making the argument that, you know, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, Joe Biden, George Bush could all be potentially politically persecuted and prosecuted for actions that they took when they were president. So it's very important that the Supreme Court upholds immunity, not just for President Trump, but for all future presidents, so our democracy can continue to function.
Hey, Caroline, it's Dawn. You know, you're right. And if we look at the Constitution, we look at the precedent, nothing like this has ever happened in our history before. Hopefully it doesn't happen again. But what's happening here, and this is Joe Biden's team, right, including Merrick Garland, Jack Smith, persecuting a former president, but also the candidate who, as of the polls this week, the latest Quinnipiac University poll, I mean, showing that Trump is, you know, some tough competition, hopefully wins against Biden in November. But this is keeping a campaign from doing what it should do. Trump is not allowed to go out and campaign. I mean, quite frankly, this week we saw 6ABC, the powerhouse station here in Philadelphia, interviewing former President Trump, but that was via remote. I mean, he's having to, you in your campaign right now, I mean, you're having to weave around these court cases. What kind of impact and conversations do you have with trying to run a presidential campaign while you're stuck and ordered in court?
Well, it certainly makes it incredibly difficult, and that's what the Democrats want to do. They want to confine President Trump to this dirty criminal courtroom in Manhattan that should be used to prosecute real criminals, violent criminals, and illegal migrants who are, you know, maybe beating up police officers in Times Square. Nope, Alvin Bragg lets those migrant thugs free, but he's wasting New York taxpayer dollars and time going after the former president and the leading candidate in the next election. And that's what this case is about. It is election interference. But unfortunately for the Democrats, they picked the wrong guy to mess with. President Trump is tough and he's tenacious, and our team is fantastic coming up with creative ways to keep him out there and keep him on the campaign trail. He'll be hosting big rallies next week in Michigan and Wisconsin, and he'll continue to get out there as much as he can and engage in local media interviews as well, like you mentioned, the Pennsylvania interview that the president did this past week from New York.
Caroline Leavitt joining us here on Kale and Company. She is Donald Trump's national press secretary, joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Caroline, we have a lot of unrest throughout the country right now as the conflict and the war continues in the Middle East with Israel and Hamas. And all of our, not all of them, but many institutions, many college campuses from the Ivy Leagues up in the Northeast all the way to the West Coast, we are seeing these tent encampments and things getting violent. We are seeing police officers having to arrest and use tasers and rubber bullets. I was told that Donald Trump was Hitler and that when Joe Biden becomes president, all the adults will be back in charge. Yet this is all happening under Joe's watch. I've got to believe that if Trump was still in office today, we're not seeing these demonstrations around the country.
No, absolutely not, because this war in Israel and in Gaza would not be happening if President Trump were still in office. When he was in office, the Middle East was at peace for the first time in many, many years. It was stable. Israel was very strong. They knew they had a strong ally in the United States of America, and our adversaries knew that too. And Iran was going broke when President Trump was president because he enacted very tough sanctions on the Iranian regime. And he also used the liquid gold we have under our feet here in the United States of America to produce oil and energy. We were a net exporter of energy. Now Joe Biden's regime has been begging the Middle East and OPEC to produce our most precious resource for us, which has made the Iranians much richer. And that's what's emboldened them and Iranian-backed terrorists, Hamas and Hezbollah, to launch these brutal attacks on Israel. And it's a mess. And Joe Biden doesn't know what to do about it. You know, he's pulled by the far left from the Palestinians who want to see a ceasefire, which is completely ludicrous. And then, of course, he's not standing strong enough with Israel to give them the support that they need to fight back. So he's stuck between a rock and a hard place, and it's because he's weak and he's feeble. He's controlled by the far left of the Democrat Party, and he doesn't take strong positions. He flip-flops on them all of the time, whereas President Trump is a strong leader. When he makes a promise, he delivers on it, and that's why the world was much safer when he was in office. We cannot afford four more years of Joe Biden's weak foreign policy. We are quite literally walking straight into World War III with him at the helm. Russia is emboldened. Of course, their invasion of Ukraine also would have never happened if President Trump were still in office. China has promised to take Taiwan. They have said it is inevitable, likely, before Joe Biden leaves office this November. And so we're going to continue to see more chaos and bloodshed, unfortunately, and it's because we have a president in the White House who nobody takes seriously. And that's probably the most important reason why we must elect President Trump, to prevent World War III.
Caroline, what's the message from former President Trump, from the Trump campaign, personally to these students, Jewish students across the country, here at UPenn, right here in Philadelphia, where we're broadcasting from? I know there are some lawsuits, actually, by some Jewish college students in Pittsburgh, for example. What's the message from Trump and the Trump campaign directly to these Jewish students who feel afraid, some of them doing remote learning because they feel threatened not only by the encampments and the protests on campus, but by some of these radicalized professors in class?
Yeah, well, President Trump has said numerous times throughout the last couple of weeks that what is happening at our college campuses, Columbia, Harvard, the University of Southern California, now University of Texas in Austin, these protests are erupting all across the country. And President Trump has said very clearly and strongly that he stands with Jewish American students across the country. And he has called on these woke universities to get tough and have some courage and demand law enforcement arrest these pro-jihadist anti-Semitic protesters who are chanting hate speech and threatening the lives of Jewish students on their campus. It is shameful to see what is taking place. And again, Joe Biden has the power right now as president of the United States to do what's best for Jewish Americans and Jewish students across the country, to stand up for them clearly and strongly, and to demand law enforcement does their jobs. But he has not done that. He's been hiding in the shadows. He doesn't directly confront this conflict because he's trying to appease both sides. And when you try to appease both sides and avoid taking a tough position, this is what happens. Both sides are upset with you. And President Trump will continue to say that Jewish Americans across the country must be protected. And these colleges need to get tough and do what is the right thing for the safety of their students.
Caroline, final question for me. I want to talk about the swing states here. Donald Trump doing very well in a majority of the polls with the six or seven different swing states. And I think it's really fascinating and it's very impressive considering when you look at the spending that the Biden campaign is doing in these swing states compared to the fact that Donald Trump has yet to open up the war chest in these pivotal states that will likely decide the election. I think the Democrats are really doing the advertising and the campaigning for you guys, because every time they show him in court, he gains in the polls and he becomes even a bigger martyr. So are you guys very encouraged by the swing state numbers based on the fact that you guys are not spending like Joe is so far?
Yes. Well, Joe Biden burned through $30 million in the month of March, and the only return on that investment was his decline in the polls. President Trump continues to increase his support of all across all battleground states with all demographics of Americans, Hispanic Americans, Black Americans, women, men, young voters are all overwhelmingly supporting President Trump because they realize what is going on with this case right now. It is a witch hunt. It is a sham. And it's a shame to see, again, our taxpayer dollars being wasted on this sham trial when we have real violent criminals running free in the streets of New York and Democrat-run cities across this country. People are just fed up. They're sick and tired of seeing the media and the Democrats spend all of their time going after Donald Trump. That's their whole platform. They are the anti-Trump platform. What do they stand for? Clearly, it's war in the Middle East. Clearly, it's a wide open border that has allowed an invasion of millions of illegals into our country over the past 3 years. Their economic policies are horrible. Joe Biden is doubling down on them now, even though inflation is climbing. He just promised to sign the largest tax hike in American history if he's reelected. So they just don't get it. They don't understand the concerns of real Americans. President Trump does. And that's why simultaneously, while he is fighting this trial, fighting for truth in our justice system, our rigged justice system, he is also talking about the issues that matter to people. And that is immigration, inflation, fixing our broken border and restoring peace around this world.
Caroline, the other issue here, and we just had our what the president would probably call a low energy primary here in Pennsylvania. But what it revealed was about 163,000 Republican voters actually cast their ballots for Nikki Haley. And on the Democrat side, Biden getting 127,000 voters either writing in an anti-Biden message or maybe going for Representative Dean Phillips, etc. So how does Trump and the Trump campaign bring together conservatives? And we saw, for example, in Purple Bucks County, we saw a primary there where Congressman Fitzpatrick won, but a good chunk of those more conservative Republicans went for Mark Houck. So how do you bring together the Republican Party, the GOP, and then energize? Because a lot of people still feel here in Pennsylvania, and there are still, as you know, there are many cases in the courts. A lot of people even feel like, you know what? There's something funny going on here with the mail-in voting, etc. And there is this feeling that, okay, the GOP Republicans need to be energized and need to feel confident in election integrity.
Well, Pennsylvania is a massively important state for us. I cannot emphasize that enough. Mm-hmm. President Trump loves Pennsylvania. We were just there a couple of weeks ago for a huge rally outside of Allentown. I can assure you we will be back very, very soon. Mm-hmm. And we also are working on the ground. We're bulking up our staff. We have a volunteer-led operation and also paid staff who are going to be engaging with Pennsylvanians for the next 6 months. And what we need is boots on the ground. The RNC is very committed to ensuring election integrity, not only getting out the vote, but also playing on offense. And look, the rules of the game in Pennsylvania aren't ideal, right? We wish you guys didn't have nearly 2 months of early mail-in voting, but we don't have time to change that now before this election, so we need to play by the rules that are given, and Republicans need to get out and vote in whatever way is most convenient for them. Don't wait till Election Day. You might not know what could happen to you on Election Day. You may not be able to get to the polls, so it's important to cast your ballot early if you can, and so we can bank as many votes as possible. We are continuing continuing, like I said, to bulk up our operations on the ground. And we would love for people to sign up to join us. We need boots on the ground to help get President Trump over the finish line. He cannot do this alone. And we're so excited about the volunteers we have so far. We need more. So anyone listening can go to DonaldJTrump.com and click on Get Involved and sign up to volunteer. And someone from our team will be in touch with you very soon.
Caroline Leavitt, Donald Trump's national press secretary, super busy lady these days. Thank you so much for carving out a couple of minutes with us.
Thank you guys so much. We'll see you soon.
You got it. Caroline Leavitt joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. So, yeah, you can get involved. Go to the website, just like she said, and click on the Get Involved tab. All right, we'll come back, wrap up a Friday, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show. By the way, Dawn, it's Melania's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Melania.
Did you wish her a happy birthday?
Did you get her a gift? Not yet.
You got 2 hours left. All right, we're back after this here on a Friday. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
As we wrap up another week of broadcast excellence, and the excellence doesn't stop.
It does not.
As it goes all the way through 7 p.m. live and local Monday through Friday. The Dawn Show, 9 minutes out, and we find out what she has lined up at the top of the hour.
A lot of breaking news surrounding former President Donald J. Trump in that Manhattan court, so we'll bring you that latest. And we will be on YouTube today again as well,
Woo-hoo! So
stay tuned. But we also will have the Director of Policy Analysis from the Commonwealth Foundation joining us and talking about Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, the Project Labor Agreement mandate. What does that mean, this PLA, as it's called, pre-hire agreements between the government and contractors, and what Shapiro has to say about it? You want to hear that. Coming up at 11, Terry Tracy, yeah, Broad and Liberty, he's going to be here in the House. So we'll have a lot. He'll be in Nick and the Zioli in the Dom studio.
Okay.
So he'll be in person, Broad and Liberty, and we'll go through so many of the talking points of the day, locally, nationally, but off the top, the breaking news involving the Trump case, live from New York.
All right. We will be listening and paying attention all 2 hours as we make our trip to Harrisburg to pick up our hardware for being Woo-hoo! The greatest radio show in the history of radio shows. Well, maybe not, but we're getting honored anyway. We're going to take it. And it's a free lunch.
That's the story, and you're sticking with it.
You're damn right. All right, let's get to Phil Almquist's Today in Music History.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. On Kale and Company.
Today, Friday, April 26th, we celebrate the birthdays of Roger Taylor of Duran Duran, Nathan Joey Jordison of Slipknot, Gary Wright, and Bobby Rydell. We also lost Mike Pinder yesterday, the keyboardist and co-founder from the Moody Blues. Albums include Throwing Copper by Live in 94 and the Hooters' Nervous Night in 85. Also in 76, Wings at the Speed of Sound hit number one. In 69, Led Zeppelin played Whole Lotta Love live for the very first time. In 78, Martin Scorsese's documentary of the band star-studded last concert opened in theaters. In 86, Van Halen's album 5150 hit number one, the very first album with Sammy Hagar. And lastly, the Stones kick off their Hackney Diamonds tour on Sunday in Houston.
Wow.
They're here at the Link on June 11th. For Kale and Company,
nice.
I'm Phil Almquist.
Ah, nice work out of Philip. No mention of his New York Knicks in his music a little clip
interesting.
Today.
Interesting
when the Sixers win by 11, he's mum. Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up with who won Twitter today.
Who won Twitter on this Friday is sponsored by Budget Blinds. I'm going to give it to Brian Pfeiffer, who says you had to have been listening to understand this reference, but if you aren't, it might make no sense. First, All in the Family, and now menstrual pads. Oy vey. Budget Blinds. Spring is here, and now is the time to budget. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blind shade, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business. budgetblinds.com.
All right, that'll do it for us. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. We're back Monday morning at 6. Everybody have a great, glorious, beautiful weather weekend. Until then, bye-bye.
Sick of you. I'm sick of all of this I'm done with it.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.